Hey guys, thanks for all your comments and questions, and thanks for watching the interview with Ann Belmont. You just can't really watch that without getting excited about photographing at the Chicago Botanic Garden, especially alongside people like Ann and the rest of our instructors. So this big event is coming up August 26th through the 30th. We're going to be at the Chicago Botanic Garden with some of the world's best flower photographers. I don't think there's any other event that's like this where they bring together the best flower photographers, garden photographers, all in one place, all in one great location to photograph. So that's why we're so excited about it. And from your comments and stuff, we can tell that you are too. We've been running these events for 5 years. We've done the city conferences in New York City and Chicago, and we've been going to national parks, Acadia National Park. We're going to Canyonlands and Arches National Park in Moab, Utah this year. But this is our first time doing something just for garden and flower photography. So, I mean, if that's what you're into, we're making this just for you. You're going to learn everything that you need to know, shooting, post-processing, everything else. We'll talk a little bit more about that after our interview today. But today I'm interviewing Charles Needle, and Charles Needle is one of my favorite flower photographers as far as photographing abstracts and coming up with creative techniques for photographing flowers. And he's an amazing teacher, and he's able to get other people to photograph the way that he does. So I want to have a diverse mix of people that are going to be helping you, and he's just like perfect. And from the very beginning, I knew that I wanted him as one of our instructors. Can't believe that he's agreed to be with us. And I think you're going to really enjoy this interview. You're going to learn a couple of things along the way. And afterward, I'll give you a few more details on the upcoming event. All right, here we go. Charles Needle. All right, I'm here with flower and garden and macro photographer Charles Needle. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about all the different techniques that you're going to be teaching people at the first annual Out of Chicago Flower and Garden Photography Conference. That's a lot of words.
It is. I'm excited. It's really great that you're putting this event on. Thank you. We've needed something like this for a long time, I think. So
yeah, I think it's going to be super exciting to be in such a great place like the Chicago Botanic Garden and have these amazing photographers there helping people get shots. I think we met at the New England Camera Club Council conference, whatever, this last year, but then we hung out more at Mike Moat's macro conference. And
exactly.
And that's kind of a similar thing, but it's all indoors. And so you get to do a lot of good teaching that way, but we're going to be out in the field, in the garden, in these great locations. So I think that's going to make it a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
All right. So, let's talk about like you do a ton of workshops all over the country, all over the world. Tell us where a couple of these workshops are that you do.
Well, I kind of specialize, not by design, but it just sort of happened, in flower and garden photography. So one of my most popular workshops is in Monet's garden in France. And I've been doing that almost 20 years. We go into the garden before it opens. We're there with all the gardeners working, and go in also after it closes in the evenings for an entire week. So wow. It's quite a special privilege to go in and be able to make photos without thousands of tourists everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the connections you must have to pull that off, that's impressive.
And, you know, I also do the Bouchard Gardens in Canada. I'm going to be doing Gardens of Cape Cod this year, and the Atlanta Botanical Garden, the Cleveland Botanical Garden, lots of different gardens. So I can't
saw that.
Gardens.
Yeah, and you're out in California, but you're going to go to Portland. You're going to go to, I saw you had one in Oregon, around Bandon on the ocean.
The Oregon coast, as well as the Portland Japanese Garden in the fall. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. So, we got to talk to you, because my plan, if we can make this work, is to take the Flower and Garden Conference and move it to different locations every year. So,
that would be wonderful.
So, you're the guy to talk to.
Yeah. Love to help you do that.
Yeah, we're going to figure that out. You've also written a couple of books on the topic. You've written, the one I was just reading was Tiny Worlds, all on macro photography, but you have even newer books. What else do you have?
So I've also got, I brought it here, actually, to show everybody. This has been really a popular book. It's called Impressionistic Photography, How to Use Your Camera as a Paintbrush. And I'm real excited about this. This isn't as much about macro as it is about how to make painterly garden images. And I'm real excited to teach people how to do this stuff in camera. It's all about in camera, you know, things with multiple exposures, long exposures, intentional camera movement, etc. So there are ways to kind of elevate your garden photography. And if you enjoy making images in the camera, it's a great how-to guide for that.
Right. I mean, I think people love to take flower photographs. Flowers are beautiful. And they're like, okay, let's take some straight on snapshots. But there comes a point where you're like, I want to do something different. I want to make it more about the feeling and everything else. And that's what that book is all about.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really actually kind of what got me into flower and garden photography to begin with. Unlike landscape photography, I feel like you can be a little bit more expressive with it. Make it your own image, really kind of get to the heart of what you're trying to photograph. And so that's what's so exciting. And there's infinite possibilities. I learn every day from my students, you know, new things to try and new, very cool tools and equipment out there and ways to translate your vision into pixels. So it's extremely exciting to me.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to be exciting about this conference is that we're going to have you doing presentations, but then you're going to be taking people out into the garden to actually do these things. And so what are a couple of the things people might expect to learn from you? And maybe give us some tips right now that they could try themselves before then.
Yeah, sure. Well, one of the tips is practice with a flower that's got like a 4 to 5 inch diameter. It's going to give you a little bit easier time than trying to work with a real teeny tiny little flower. So that's one of the major pieces of advice for people that are starting out with flower photography. And then try it at home, especially in the winter. It's awesome because you can control the distance between your backgrounds and your foregrounds by just going and getting a bouquet of cut flowers, you know, and playing with that. And then experiment with different kinds of lighting and all of that. So I'll be talking in the field with people as well as my presentations all about composition, lighting, you know, depth of field, all those sorts of things. And one of my favorite tools to use is, and I also brought this to show people, it's the 500D close-up lens that is made by Canon. And these hopefully will be available at the conference or something very much like them.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Gary and Hunts will have them. Yes.
Uh-huh. That's right. Good old Gary. Love Gary. Anyway, this is a great filter that I actually use on the end of my macro lens. I have the 200 macro from Nikon, and I love using this in conjunction with the macro lens to really take you deeper into a flower or whatever you're doing, a plant. And you can just start to pick up edges and get much more abstract, and to use the adjective Georgia O'Keeffe,
right,
flowers, if that's your style and something you enjoy. But I really like this because it also, another technical term I use in my classes is if you really like the mush factor, this gives you mushy images. So don't ask me exactly how, but it's a great way to kind of mush your flower photography up. And I don't mean mush as in a mess, but you know, something very soft, pleasing, especially if you're working with pastel colors and so forth to begin with.
Yeah, the clean blur that so many of your images have.
Exactly.
And I think the tip along with that is like the more you can make that background blur away, the more it's going to make the part that you're trying to focus on and be in focus stand out from the rest of it.
Right, exactly. One of the other questions I'll be fielding a lot from people is, you know, where do I focus? A lot of people really wonder when they're doing macro photography, where the heck do I focus? Well, it's always, I say, on the part of the flower or the subject that's going to bug you the most if it's out of focus.
Right.
So focus there, you know. And of course, there's much more to it in terms of what aperture you choose and so forth, too.
But right. But that's what makes what we're doing or your workshops work so well is that, you know, someone can try it and they can focus on one part and you say, yeah, but you totally missed this. So why don't you try it again? And, you know, they get immediate feedback on it.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And one of the things, too, that drew me to macro photography is it's a very slow, deliberate, almost meditative, you know, contemplative type practice. So after you've done one image, there's a million more to do, you know, try a different angle, try a different lighting, try a different lens, there's just always another log to throw on the fire, so to speak.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, because sometimes you'll be standing in front of the mountains and you'll be like, well, I got the shot of the mountains and well, what else is it? You know, when you're doing landscape, but with macro, right, it's like, just move a half an inch and it's a totally different picture.
Exactly. Yep. So
yeah. Now the filter you were talking about, it's made by Canon, but it can be used on any lens that would accept that filter size you buy for it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. This happens to be the 77 millimeter size, and I got this size because it fits my telephoto lens as well. So I can use this on the end of a telephoto. So if you don't have a macro lens yet, it's an awesome way to get into macro and not have to spend quite as much money on it. Full-blown macro lens. So.
Right, and it's a whole lot lighter if you're traveling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I've also really gotten excited about what the iPhone can do with close-ups and flowers and gardens. So, you know, I don't know how much we're going to cover that, but I'm so...
That's up to you.
What the phone does, and I'm happy to share all kinds of really cool stuff. There's some supplementary lenses that I've been experimenting with. Besides the Olaclip and usual ones, you know, that you hear about that really take you to the next level with macro photography and your phone. So even if that's all you've got, come along and play with us.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the fun part about our events is that even if you don't do a whole class on all these accessories and stuff, that we'll all be hanging out together. We'll be at the hotel and someone's like, oh, so what do you use? I mean, you just pull them, show people, and say, yeah, just try this.
And exactly. And having access to the great lineup of people you've got, you know, right there to just answer all your questions will be great for people.
Yeah. And I think the one thing that's going to be fun, a lot of people, when you talked about the mushy photographs, they're like, that's not for me. But we've tried to put together a whole, you know, group of people that will get those out of focus shots, and then other people are going to get everything tack sharp all the way front to back.
And yeah. And I love sharp images too that have great depth of field with focus stacking, etc. But I just personally prefer the other ones because they're a little bit more artistic, a little more interpretive, expressive, and so forth. So, but yeah, we'll have something for everybody.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, so you're going to take people out into the field. We're going to be using the 500D. You're going to be doing all these other crazy things. Tell us one more thing that you're going to be teaching people and working with them when we're in the garden.
Well, once we've kind of covered a lot of the close-up stuff, or once you've gotten that sort of out of your system, so to speak, and you're staying around, you know, we still got an hour to go before we leave or whatever, I want to take people over to areas where you've got clumps of flowers, like flower beds and maybe even flowering trees and things like that, and show them how you can make a lot of great in-camera multiple exposures to make an image look very painterly. And there's lots of examples in my book, and a lot of them have been made where else but Monet's garden. It's exciting, you know, to be able to practice there because Monet designed that garden with very small points of color. So when you take all those very tiny points of color that have spacing between them and move the camera slightly, or rotate and zoom the lens, for example, or do a vertical tilt, you know, on the trees, if there's trees or things like that, there's all kinds of ways to go beyond just a literal sort of intimate landscape scene in the garden too. So I'm very excited to show people how to do that. And even if you can't do it in camera, there are ways to still shoot it that way and use like a script in Photoshop that I'm happy to share with everyone. It's a free script to put it all together later. Or if you're really into Photoshop in a big way, you know, you can take all the layers and stack them like that and start adjusting opacity and still get an amazing image that way too, and do it manually. So that's a whole nother area of interest for me, is kind of more, I guess you just call it impressionistic.
Yeah. I love just the simple, just with the trees, the vertical pan or whatever it is. And, I mean, I'll get that back on my computer and I'll see the image where it's just a straight shot and I'll be like, all right. And then you do the other one. You're like, that's really more how I felt when I was taking the picture.
That's right. Yeah. It really gets to the heart of your kind of expressing a feeling or an emotion, which is a great way to, and even if, you know, you come away from this conference saying, well, flowers and gardens are not really my thing, I think all of this helps you to see better, helps you to interpret the world around us better, helps you to be a better photographer, you know, if you shoot portraits or architecture or whatever.
So yeah, these things can be applied lots of different places.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And also with close-ups, another thing I'll be teaching is what's called a soft glow montage, where you can take two images in the camera and have one of them be slightly out of focus and the other one be sharply focused. And you bring those together either in Photoshop or in the camera. And you may have seen some images where, you know, you have kind of a flower that has a glow around it and that sort of idea. So I'll be teaching that as well. So there's a lot of possibilities and many more that I probably won't be teaching that.
We don't have time for it all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yet to be discovered, because it's just such a banquet of ideas and, you know, subject matter that's out there.
Yeah. That's awesome. I remember one other thing I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
So we're going to be at the Chicago Botanic Garden in late August.
Okay.
What are some of your favorite things to shoot? What do you think we might find there? I know what we're going to find there, but what are some of your favorite flower subjects?
Yeah, well, I would think late August, at least in the Pacific Northwest, where I lived for about 10 years before moving to California, I think about dahlias. They are among my favorite subjects because it goes back to that whole idea of practicing with a flower that's at least, you know, 4 to 6 inches in diameter. So they come that way, you know.
Right. They're meant to be like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one of my favorite flowers. And there are just so many intricate petals and different, you know, designs, different shapes and so forth with dahlias. So that would be one flower I would think we're expected to find there.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll see water lilies. We'll see lotus if we're lucky. And I know you got a lot of those.
Long lenses can help with those.
That's right.
Got a longer. For sure. Focal length. You can still get great images without that, but if you have that, for sure, bring it along.
Exactly.
And I assume you're going to be giving everybody a little bit of an idea of equipment to bring. And
yeah, so. Actually, I was just reading through your book, the Tiny Worlds book, and I'm like, man, I just want to copy and paste and send this to everybody, but we'll make them buy it. We'll make them get
that. Well, and that book, too, gets into a whole other world of macro, similar to what Mike Motes is doing, where you can do stuff indoors with everyday household objects and, you know, cut flowers. Right. I do a lot with glass and mylar and all sorts of other cool things. So that's another workshop I teach on creative macro. I'll be at the Atlanta Botanical Garden doing that one. So it's not necessarily that you have to go to a garden to make great flower images.
No, for sure. All right. So where can we find all this stuff, all your workshops and everything else you got going on? Where do we go to find that?
So the website's charlesneedlephoto.com, and my last name is spelled just like it sounds, N-E-E-D-L-E.
Mm-hmm. No, that's just one.
Singular needle. Yeah, uh-huh. So charlesneedlephoto.com.
All right, and we'll put links
and also
in
my books are on there, too, if people want to purchase the books there ahead of time and get a head start.
No, that's I was reading some of the survey results we had come in, and people were asking, you know, we want to read from our instructors, so we got the baseline. So when we come in, we're not working on camera settings and everything else. And that is exactly how you should go into it. And that's how I feel. Read all that, get the basics, and then practice it alongside with the instructors so that you go beyond just getting the basics.
Right. Yeah. And I have impressionistic photography up on the website. Tiny Worlds is not up there quite yet, but if you want to order it from me and want an autographed copy, you can do that directly through me. So
excellent. So we just email you?
Exactly. And the email address is charles@charlesneedlephoto.com. So
perfect. We'll put links to all that in there. And yeah, I've seen your books. They're amazing. And when you're doing your book signings, and well, the one I've got, but the other ones, yeah, the new one, it's phenomenal. So great photos,
so
great teaching.
It's
I can't
an honor
wait
to be teaching there in Chicago with you. So, I'm
excited. My goodness, it's an honor to have you. So, cannot wait to have you and everyone else there in August, and we'll see you then. Thanks, Charles.
Great, thank you.
So I know you guys have a lot of questions about the event, and one of the big ones is about like what's included, and we want to make this an all-inclusive event. We want to make this really something special where we all come together and bond and spend this entire time together, just like we did in Acadia National Park in Maine, where everyone was right there in the same room learning the whole time. So with this event, we're going to include your hotel. We're going to be at the Embassy Suites in Deerfield, Illinois, and every room is a two-room suite, Embassy Suites, and so you'll get your hotel room. The breakfast is included with that, and it's not like Raisin Bran and Lucky Charms type of breakfast. It's like made-to-order omelet station, like super nice stuff. If you never stayed at Embassy Suites, it's super great. So the hotel is not big. It's just, you know, you wake up, you come down to the breakfast. It's right there. We'll all be eating there together. That will be included in your ticket. Also, we're going to be getting all your lunches, so we're going to cater lunch for everyone. So in the morning, we'll we'll go shoot, we'll come back and we'll get lunch and we'll do some classes and do some learning, then we'll go back to the garden again and shoot. So every day you're going to have two excursions to the garden, each one led by one of our instructors. And before we right now you would sign up, but before the event, like sometime in July probably, you'll sign up for the exact excursions so that we'll make it so you get in at least a couple of the excursions with your favorite photographer, but then you'll get a couple with others and you'll get a great mix of different learning styles throughout the week. So your breakfast is included, the lunch is included, we're going to do an opening night reception and dinner where Ann Belmont is going to do the keynote presentation that first night, get everyone kind of excited, inspired to be shooting for the week. And I mean, all the little things are included too, like Wi-Fi in your room, Wi-Fi in the conference center, all of that stuff is part of this package. We're just trying to design it so that all you need to do is get yourself to the hotel, which is easy Uber or cab from O'Hare, fly into O'Hare, get to the hotel. We'll take care of everything else after that. We're going to coordinate the travel so that we will carpool over to the Botanic Garden. We're going to make it so you're not even going to have to worry about like fees to get in there or to park or anything else. So we're going to take care of everything for you. We just want to make it a really easy experience. Once you get yourself there, everything's done for you. So you can spend all your time just worrying about the photography and hanging out with the instructors and the other attendees. So like I said, every day you're going to go on two different excursions to the Botanic Garden. You're going to be part of two or three different classes also each day. That could be a big presentation, but we'll also do breakout sessions. We'll also have time for some one-on-one help where we're all together and the instructors will go around and help people individually. We'll even do critique sessions in the group that'll be more formal. And we'll have other sessions where they'll be working on post-processing. So you could bring your laptop or whatever you may use. In Acadia, someone brought their 27-inch iMac. That was awesome. So bring whatever you want to use to edit your images. The instructors will be there to help. And all those things, we want to go from learning and inspiration to actually being out in the field shooting to then giving feedback on the images so that by the time you leave, you've got some amazing images that you're really proud of and that you're thinking about your photography in a way that you haven't before. And I have one more video coming up. That's with Alan Shapiro. Alan is from New York City, and he is just a great personality and a great flower photographer. So we can't wait to work with him. Ann and I are really excited to have him on board, and he'll be there. He'll be doing some post-processing stuff. In this video, he's going to be teaching you some techniques for black and white monochrome photography with flowers. He's also going to be teaching some creative exercises. So that's the type of thing that he's going to be doing at the event, but you'll get a few of those ideas just from this video that's going to be coming out in a couple of days, so look forward to that. All right, make sure you add a comment down below if you have any questions or if you just want to say how great Charles is, how much you love his images. We love seeing all your feedback and look forward in the next few days for that interview with Alan Shapiro. And then just after that, we're going to open up registration and we're really excited to get things underway and get you guys into like our private Facebook group and start interacting with all the people that are going to be involved with this, with the instructors and attendees and our staff, and really start that community early. So look forward to that and make sure you leave a comment below. We will see you soon. Thank you.